a lot of us as men, we grow up with fathers and maybe daughters too. And we feel like we can never be good enough. Were you raised in a home by parents, no matter what you did, you felt like it, you could never be good enough. We want to be raised and we want to raise our families in an environment where they what? They relax. They feel relaxed. They feel accepted for who they are and the way they are. Not the sin, not the wrong things we do. That's not okay. But just who you basically are is like beautiful, accepted, loved, and you just rest and relax in that. Maybe you didn't grow up in a home like that, so you know what that's like. What can happen is we bring that into our relationship with Him. And so we never relax. And do you as a believer, is it possible? I was thinking about this when we were worshiping. Do you as a believer live, and you don't ever really think about it like we're thinking about it right now, focusing on it, but subconsciously, we're always living feeling like we can never be good enough. Do you know that blocks His love in our life? Now, here's what's amazing. You were God's idea. The very idea of who He would form in the womb, body, soul, spirit, personality, was His idea. How could you not be acceptable? Right? Isn't that crazy? How could you and I not be acceptable to the one who designed us to be the way we are? What a lie of the enemy, amen? Now, He doesn't accept our sin. He died for it, and He's always faithfully working on us. But you and I ourselves are created in the image of God, and you were God's idea. And He takes delight in who you are. Would you believe that? Because it just doesn't make sense that He would create something that was His idea. And David taught us, I love you with an everlasting love, which means before He even formed this planet and the world, because He's God and He knows the beginning from the end, He had an idea of who, when you were conceived in the womb, He would form. And He already had that idea, and He already loved us back then when He started loving us with the idea of us before we existed. That's who He is. So, what a Lord. Well, I'm going to ask you, we're going to watch a video, another beautiful video, but we want to look at the Word of God because it's going to describe what we're going to see. So if you would, please open your Bibles to Psalm 92 and then go down to verse 12 in Psalm 92. In Psalm 92, in verse 12, speaking about you and I, you guys, it says, "The righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. He shall grow, he or she shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bear fruit." That's agape love right there. "In old age, they shall be fresh and flourishing. To declare that the Lord is upright, He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in Him." Do you remember in Ephesians 3, the Lord said He wants us to be rooted and grounded in His agape love? Well, look at verse 15. "He is my rock. I'm rooted and grounded in Him because He is love." And you guys, in old age, the Lord says in verse 14, "They shall still bear fruit." Agape in old age, they shall be fresh and flourishing. And that's what He wants us to do, is all the days of our life keep going deeper and deeper, and Him producing more beauty in our lives through His agape love. If you go to Israel, there's countless palm trees everywhere you look, in every direction. They have a wonderful biblical significance. And I hope every time you see a palm tree now, maybe you'll think of this. But there were 7 species of food. One of them was the dates from, it's called honey, but in Deuteronomy chapter 8, when you go into the promised land, he told my people, I'm going to provide these, at least these seven kinds of food for you. And one of them was the dates that would grow on palm trees, and they would make a kind of honey out of it. But you guys, the palm trees here are a picture of believers. You and I, listen, who in the midst of drought, desolation, we fix our faith and trust down deep into the living promises of God, and we flourish for him. Specifically, what promises? The greatest truth in the Bible is he loves us, his agape love. So picture a palm tree. And do you know a palm tree has a tap root? In other words, instead of all kinds of fingers and roots going out like this, like an oak tree, a palm tree has a big tap root that go like one big root, like think of a carrot, right? That goes down deep and very, very deep. And that's the significance of a palm tree, is the root goes so deep, deeper than other trees. And it says that the righteous shall flourish like what? A palm tree. The root goes deep. What did we learn in Ephesians 3? That God wants us to be rooted and grounded in what? His love for us. So, palm trees, you know, they can flex and withstand the battering of very serious storms. The roots go deep and the trunks can bend so that they stay strong in drought, wind, storm. They can flourish even in harsh conditions. That's what God wants for us. And so it's said that those who drink deep of God's living waters, they're rooted and grounded in his agape love for them. That's what God wants us to do. So we're going to watch this video, and I want you to see, I loved what the Lord gave David about the bridge. And man, I got that, and we get that in our mind. We're going to watch a man who's flourishing in his old age, and he has the three human loves. He has family love, he has friendship love, he has romantic love. But you guys, his foundation is God's agape love. So think of the bridge and what Pastor David taught us earlier, and watch this man, and what we're going to see is a man who's living on top of the bridge. He's living his life on the bridge. So let's watch it right now.
I don't count it a burden whatever to have to care for her. I need to do everything from the moment she gets up to the moment she goes to bed. I do absolutely everything. Clean her teeth, shower, dress, everything. And but it's a privilege. I count it a great privilege to care for this one that I've loved all of these years and continue to love. This is the year when we'll celebrate our 50th wedding anniversary. Our stories have been a lovely story. I first saw her when she was 8 years old, and her brother became my best friend. And we grew up together, and as we grew up, yeah, she was there. And I knew that she used to stare at me when I was playing footy with her brother and another friend, and when we used to ride bikes, and she kept staring at me, but I wasn't interested. I was 17, she was 16. I saw her dolled up, dressed up, and she had an A-line dress on, and boom, it was gone. She was the one for me then, absolutely. When we first started dating, I used to ride my bike from where I lived to where she was, and that was about 5 kilometres on a Saturday afternoon, because it was the only chance we had to get together. And it was hair wash day for her, and she used a special cream in her hair for a shampoo. And I can still smell it, because that smell was so particular, so nice. It was just absolutely special. We had a bike. I used to ride everywhere on my bike, and then Glad had a bike as well, and we put a baby chair on the front of her bike, and so we carried our babies around on the bike with her as well. So, yeah, bike's been part of our lives, and I guess that has something to do with us now. Around about 2004-05, I began to notice that there were things going wrong. She was finally diagnosed with the horrible disease of Alzheimer's. having lived overseas, I knew that with a bike you can do lots of things. So I had a bike made, a bike chair made. We take it to the beach and ride along beside the beach. And as we do that, we see lots of people. A lot of people come talk to us because it's a unique thing. Nobody else has got a bike chair quite like that one. I am determined to care for her every need. You see, God has loved us so unconditionally. And I understand that God has put his love in my heart. And because I realize how much God has loved me, that's how I too can love my lovely wife. She has done so much for me over all of these years. Now she can't, but I can, and I can return her love. And it's a love that, to me, means I can do everything for her. She's my princess, I'm her William, and I wouldn't have it any other way. Would you have it any other way?
No,
not at all. We love each other.
Did you hear what he said? He said, God has put his unconditional love in my heart. And so I really feel tonight is very, very important. Every person in here, and I'm thinking everyone has given their heart to the Lord. And if you haven't, you need to just give your heart to him and receive him. Ask him to come into your heart. But I think we all have, and if we have, then you guys, the Holy Spirit lives within us. But so does the Father, and so does the Son. All three. Because God's a Trinity. God lives in us, right? Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But the main person we deal with in our life, our whole time here, is the Holy Spirit. And Jesus and the Father dwell in us in the presence of the Holy Spirit, through the presence of the Holy Spirit. So, are you aware of him within you? Because he lives within you. What does Galatians 5 say? The fruit of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit is what? Love, agape love. The result, the fruit, is God the Holy Spirit, of God the Holy Spirit living in us, is agape. It comes from him. Okay. Now, you know how my dad was like this? That's how we all are with the Holy Spirit till we get to know him and we relax with him. Paul said in Ephesians 3, in his prayer, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And so Jesus lives in us, we know that. But you guys, that word dwell, you know what it means? It means to finally settle down and be at home, like you're relaxed sitting here tonight. And that Jesus would feel relaxed and settled in down in our hearts. Goes on in chapter 4, right past Ephesians 3, and it says, for the Father dwells in us. Well, so we know Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So you know what I think? We're all really comfortable with Jesus. We're all really good and comfortable with the Father. But then when it comes to the Holy Spirit, whoop, there went the wall, right? And I'll bet it already went up. He's talking about the Holy Spirit, and here's what happened. We're totally relaxed. We're tired. It's the end of the weekend, and now he's going to start talking about the Holy Spirit, and we go like that, right? And it's like, hey, I have had to learn in my Christian walk with the Lord, with the Holy Spirit, to do this, and he's so gentle. Now, why is that? That's because there's been so much abuse in regards to the person of the Holy Spirit. Now, I was going to have David show the video again of the little boy in the yellow lab, but but I'm not going to do that because we still have that in our mind. But I'm going to tell you about it because here's the thing. Remember, you and I are the little boy in the video, right? And the yellow lab represented God's love. And yet, just even receiving God's love, you know, that precious little boy, he kept taking the paw and taking it off of his leg, and then he'd scoot away, he'd spread his legs, and it's like, you know, but it's like, man, I really want that dog, but there's part of me that I don't know why, but I just, don't touch me, right? You know, that kind of a thing. And then, you know, the dog gets up and he puts his paw on his shoulder, but then there's that one, just for a few moments, where the dog isn't doing anything, and all of a sudden the little boy, you know, throws himself on top of the dog and hugs him, right? And so we said, that's you and I, and the yellow lab represents God's love. Okay, wait a minute. Now hold that picture. What if you're the little boy, but now that yellow lab represents the person of the Holy Spirit. So let's get that picture in our mind again. So now you're sitting there, and the yellow lab is the person of the Holy Spirit. And he, isn't that how we can treat the Holy Spirit? It's like, I'm not so sure. And we move away. Now, I want us to think this. We're watching a video of a little boy sitting against a wall, and his mom is just having a great time videoing him. I mean, that's just the most beautiful video that she took. And he's sitting outside on a nice day, and he's sitting against the wall, and it looks like they're on the sidewalk or driveway or something. But I want you to imagine that setting is now within our heart because we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. So you're the little boy, and the yellow lab is the Holy Spirit. But that's in every person. Look around, sitting here right now, that's what's going on inside. And you know we live that way because he's not going anywhere. And it says we're sealed with the Holy Spirit of God, and we're the temple of the Holy Spirit. And Jesus said, I'm going to give you another comforter the night he was arrested. And it means another of the very same kind. So we go, oh, Lord. Oh, man, I totally relate to Jesus. I wish I could have walked the earth with him when he walked. That would have been so neat, you know, because he met every need. He would, you know, and I wouldn't be like this with Jesus like your dad was. Oh, man. And you know what? And he just loved on the disciples. Wouldn't that have been awesome? And Jesus said, I'm going away, but I'm going to give you another comforter. And another means another of the very same kind, not a different kind, of the very same kind. So in other words, what he's teaching us there very importantly in John's gospel is that the Holy Spirit is exactly like Jesus. So we get Jesus. We go, he's love. He loves us. We can trust him, right? We can trust him. He's not going to make us do anything crazy and wild and weird and whatever, right? He's not going to do that. Well, is he? No. Well, look at the men who walked with him for 3 years. Do we ever see them do anything bizarre, crazy, weird, or that anybody would go, oh, man, no way. Get away from me. I don't want anything. No, he didn't, right? So guess what? I'm going to send you another comforter of the same kind. He's just like me, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He told Philip, if you've seen the Father, you've seen me. Oh, show us the Father. We want to see the Father. He says, if I've been with you so long and you don't, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Do you know what he would say? If you've seen me, you've seen the Holy Spirit. Three in one, all the same. Do you trust Jesus? Well, guess what, guys? So let's go back to you, the little boy in the yellow lab, but that's what's going on unseen in our hearts. Picture the little boy in the yellow lab, but the yellow lab inside the temple of the Holy Spirit, you and I, which we are right now, inside there, we're the little boy with the yellow lab, and we're living, and so it's like, that's how we live our Christian life. That's how you and I can live our Christian life. He's never going to leave. That yellow lab's never going to go away, right? And he's going to keep loving that little boy. But we can live life that way where we're never comfortable and we're not so sure and we're afraid. Ask yourself the question, was there any reason that little boy couldn't have just Didn't you want him to just relax, embrace, hug, love on each other, just totally have a great time? Was it possible? Yes. But we get afraid and we don't trust. Now, here's the thing. Do you trust people? Some you do. The only ones we trust are the ones that we believe love us. Because if you and I don't think somebody really cares about us and really loves us, we won't trust them. But if we feel that they really love us and we can trust them with everything, I can trust her with everything. There's nothing she doesn't know. She could destroy me. She could so embarrass me and humiliate me. She could. But I know she won't, because I trust her. Because why? Because she loves me. So if someone loves us, we trust them. Well, God says, like a palm tree, I want your roots to go down deep. But what does he want them rooted and grounded in? His love. Deep in his love. Because if you're deep in his love and you really believe that he loves us with this agape love, then you'll trust him with all of your heart. But we struggle with faith and with trusting him with all of our heart, not because we lack faith. In his word, we don't really believe he loves us, because if we really, guys, would go deep into and really consent and let him love us, we would trust him with all our hearts, and that's what he wants. But here in this hand is how much you trust the Lord tonight. And here in this hand is how much you and I really believe that he loves us with his agape love. And this trust will never be greater than how much we believe he loves us. Do you see how important that is? So within that temple, now, lots of crazy things people do in the name of the Holy Spirit that are not the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14 give us guidelines for when we're baptized and filled with the Holy Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit and how they operate. And you guys, what I love is in chapter 14, the very after talks about the gift of tongues and the gift of interpretation and the gift of prophecy and all the beautiful gifts of the Holy Spirit that are still all for today. When it talks about that, Paul talks about how they're to operate in church life, right? And you know what that's like? That's like God's word. 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14 are like the banks of a river. It's like the banks of a river, right? The borders, the banks. The Holy Spirit is the mighty rushing river flowing through the banks. And God's word, he flows through what the guidelines that he himself has put there in the word of God is, here's who I am and here's how I will move in your midst. And when we stay within the word of God, it's a beautiful thing. Now listen very carefully. Go back to the yellow lab in the video in your mind. And that represents the Holy Spirit and your little boy. Was he gentle, the yellow lab? Very sensitive to the little boy? Did he ever overpower the little boy? Did he ever make the little boy do anything he didn't want to do? Neither will he and you and I. He's gentle as, he's powerful as a mighty rushing river, but he's as gentle as a dove. That's the symbol of the Holy Spirit. That yellow lab, he lives within you and I. You've got a person, you might not even know him, the Holy Spirit living within you, but there's a separate second experience with the Holy Spirit. When you and I give our hearts to him, he comes to live inside and we're born again. But then Jesus said, I want you to go out and be witnesses for me. They didn't just go. He said, go and wait until you're endued with power from on high, and you shall be my witnesses. So what's the power for? The power is to be a witness for him. You know what power means? It means the ability to do, the power to do what he's given us to do. Well, he said the power is to what? Be a witness. What is the witness? His agape love. By this all men shall know that you are my disciples, that you love, when they see that you love one another. You guys, when he fills us with his love, and we'll go deep into that, and we'll receive it, and we'll trust him with all of our heart, it's going to overflow our lives, and that's what's going to win the world to Christ. It isn't going to just be the Word of God. It's going to be the Word of God and the power of the Holy Spirit, and he wants his Word saturated in God's agape love, and he wants us to love the people we're witnessing to, and that is what is attractive, because they go, I love with the other three loves. What have you got? Supernatural love. But it isn't something he says, here it is, and we take it. It's actually he himself living within us. Well, who's that? The Holy Spirit. We need to relax and trust him. Amen? And trust him. Now, I've shared this story before. A missionary was in a foreign land. They gave him a car to use. One problem. He couldn't start the engine without using jumper cables. So what a pain. He devised a clever way to help himself. So everywhere he went, he parked on a hill. And you guys know, he'd push the car, get it rolling down, jump in, pop the clutch, start the engine. And for 2 years, he did that. Just before he's going to leave the country, another missionary is coming to take over for him. So he's telling him, he's going, well, this is what you got to do with the car. It's your car now. This is what you've got to do. The other guy goes, you know what? Let's pop the hood and take a look. And he pops the hood and he says, wait a minute. It looks like there's a loose connection here. I wonder if that has something to do with the problem. So he gives it a twist. He got in the car and run. It started right up. The problem was resolved as soon as the connection to the source of power was established. The paw of the yellow lab. Connection on you and I, the Holy Spirit. Take it off. We move away. We don't trust that connection. If we don't trust that connection, there isn't going to be any power, you guys. And so we can grieve the Holy Spirit, the Bible says. When we sin, we grieve him. When we don't know who he is, it grieves him. When we don't love him, he loves us. David talked about the communion of the Holy Spirit. Communion of the Holy Spirit, that's connection. That isn't the paw that's being removed or moving away. That the communion of the Holy Spirit was when the little boy threw himself on top of the dog. That was the communion of the Holy Spirit, and they were one. And that's what he wants in you and I. And so do you see how important it is that as we're talking about God's agape love and what he wants to do in our lives, that there will be a wall up, and that will never happen in a deep way, and God will never use us in almighty power like he could. He'll use us, but not like he could, to our full potential, which is his, if we do not talk about becoming comfortable with this person of the Holy Spirit within us and trusting him. So maybe even tonight while I'm talking with the yellow lab inside, the person, God of the Holy Spirit, you're stiff like my dad was, that's okay. That dog's going to keep on coming and the Holy Spirit is never going to leave. Isn't it high time we surrender and we trust him? There's crazy, wacky things that go on in churches in the name of the Holy Spirit that are not the Holy Spirit. What are they then? Only two possibilities. They are either the flesh of man trying to draw attention to self for attention, or it is the enemy actually doing signs and wonders in church to deceive. Because if it draws away from Jesus and the truth, then it's not the Lord and it deceives and it takes us away from the Lord. So we talk about grieving the Holy Spirit, and people who might be into all these crazy things happening in his name, if we don't believe in those crazy things happening in his name, they say we're grieving the Holy Spirit. I'm here to tell you what grieves him is people who do those things in his name. That's what grieves him, because then we don't know him as he is. And what's amazing is we're sitting here right now, and he's filling this room, and he's in you and I. Question. How long have you been saved? How many years? He's been living in you since that day. How many crazy and wacky things has he made you do? None. Amazing, huh? Couldn't that yellow lab have just overwhelmed that boy and dominated him and just thrashed him? Is the Holy Spirit ever going to do that with you and I? How many things has the Lord spoken to you since you've been here? How many things have you seen through videos and worship and just like driving down the road while you're worshiping and you forgot you were even in here because he took you far away? Who was that? You? That was the Holy Spirit. How many things, how many can we say he spoke to me? He spoke to me while I was on the retreat over and over and over and over. Jesus spoke to me. Yes. How did he do it? Through the Holy Spirit that lives within you. The Holy Spirit spoke to you. Can we trust him? Completely. Totally. And when we do, our roots will go deep into the love of God. You guys, it's important. It's really, really important. Now, you know what I love is in Israel, because I'll say, God, I love palm trees, you know. And my wife says, I don't. Which means I'm more spiritual, right? No, I'm kidding. No. That's a joke, okay? You already know she is. Do you know? Let's go to the temple. Let's go back 2,000 years ago to the temple in Jerusalem. But we can only go so far. Oh, there it is. Wouldn't you love to go all the way inside, only where the priest could go, but we can't go because only the priest can go. So all we can do is go, what's it like in there? And then listen to our daddies tell us from the word of God that if inside, on the walls inside, because God said, I want it made exactly like this. And this is how big it's to be, what it's to look like and everything, because it's a model of heaven. And I want my temple on earth to be like that. And you know what God told them? I want you to carve palm trees on the walls, on the inside of the temple. Whoa, are you getting it? Why would God want palm trees on the inside of his temple? Paul said, may you be rooted and grounded in the knowledge of his love like a palm tree. Those palm trees represent God's love for us, his agape love. The yellow lab, the Holy Spirit, God himself, who lives within you and I, he wants to carve palm trees on the walls of your heart. You're the temple. I'm the temple. I'm going to get a tattoo on my back. And I'm not. I'm going to pretend I am. So let's say I'm going to get a tattoo on my back today. And here he is. Hi, you're doing, you know. And this guy is going to tattoo my back now. He's going to start working on my back, but I can't see what he's doing. I have to what? Trust him. If I don't trust him, am I going to let him carve a tattoo on my back? Then I go to the mirror and I go, ah, right? What did you do? I asked for this and you did this, right? You're not going to let somebody put a tattoo on you if you don't completely trust him. But what if it's somebody you know and love and you know you can completely trust? Not only that, they're the best. They're perfect at tattooing, right? Well, the Holy Spirit, he wants to engrave palm trees on the walls of our heart inside. But he won't and he can't. What do those palm trees represent? God's agape love for us. But we won't let him if we don't trust him, amen? It's the same. So, I just the name of this teaching tonight to close was Open the Eyes of My Heart, Lord. That's the title. And all the Holy Spirit wants to do is say tonight, hi. Hi, church. I'm the one who lives within you. I'm in love with you. And I so want you to be in love with me. And I'm the one. And by the way, what if I were to tell you your roots and your understanding and mine and how deep God's love for us will only go as deep as we'll trust the Holy Spirit and yield to him. But we get afraid because people do crazy things in his name. In 1 Corinthians 14, it says, the voice of the prophet is subject unto the prophet, which means if God gives one of us a word to share with the rest of us, right now he could be telling me something he wants me to tell you. Now I have free will to choose whether to share that with you or not. When he says in his word, the voice of the prophet is subject unto the prophet, it means he will never just take over our voice where all of a sudden I'm up here and I don't want to tell you what he's telling me to tell you, but I can't help it because he took over my voice and here I go. No, I have complete control over my voice. God can tell me something to say. Maybe you've already experienced this weekend. Maybe in times of prayer, when we were all praying, you knew he was saying pray, but you didn't. Oh man, why didn't he just take over your voice? Have you ever felt like you were supposed to pray, but you were so self-conscious you didn't? Busted. I have, right? So maybe even this weekend you felt like you were supposed to pray, but you didn't. Who was giving you? That was him, the Holy Spirit inside, but he didn't just take over your voice and make you pray, and you chose not to pray, and he, like the yellow lab, respected that. Fall. You know what? I want you to fall in love with the Holy Spirit. I cannot say that I'm in love with my Lord Jesus Christ, but I'm not in love. And I'm in love with the Father, but I'm not in love with the Holy Spirit. And we've been ripped off. And he's been ripped off. So, if nothing else tonight and on this retreat, if God would just, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good, just get us excited and starting to pursue his love, but then realizing I'm going to pursue the Holy Spirit. I'm going to get to know this one inside of me. What if you've been saved for 10 years, 20 years, 30 years? He's been living in you that whole time. What has he ever done to embarrass you? He never will. He never will. And when the gifts of the Holy Spirit operate that are in the Bible, gift of tongues, interpretation, prophecy, all of those gifts, when they operate the way he wants them to operate within the guidelines of God's word, it looks exactly like the yellow lab in the video who is just gently and lovingly and sensitive and patient, and it's beautiful. And that's when you know it's really him. But anything that draws attention to man is the flesh and not him. And anything that isn't according to the truth grieves him deeply. The Holy Spirit loves us. Corrie ten Boom, she's ministering to a woman in a prison cell when she was live here on earth, and she was just a beautiful teacher, and she's in a prison cell with a woman. So she takes a stick. It's in a foreign country that's laying there, and she picks it up, and she says, she's holding it up. You know, it's on the ground. She picks it up. She's holding it up straight. She says, do you think it's possible for this stick to stand upright on its own? Of course not, she says. It's not the nature of the stick to stand by itself. It can do so only when my hand keeps it steady. Then she told the woman, it's not the nature of human beings to be able to stand on their own. They can only do it when they surrender to the hand that will keep them from falling. For a moment, we are quiet, she says, together, and I know that the Holy Spirit works in her heart. Then she surrenders to the hand that was wounded to save her. If we can't even stand without the Holy Spirit holding us up, how can we walk in the Spirit? How can we walk in the Spirit, which is what we do? And so God wants to give us power to be witnesses, power to love with his agape love, power for his agape love to overflow our lives, but that will only happen as we ask the Holy Spirit to fill us. In Ephesians 5:18 says, do not be drunk with wine, which is in dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. And what that means is the idea, and what it means is not one time, but over and over and over and over again. If you're here and you've never asked the Holy Spirit to fill you and to baptize you, he lives within you, but that doesn't mean he fills you. It was said earlier, and then Christian alluded to it again when we were together as men. It was a quote from David. Wow, man, that was a great quote, wasn't it? When he was saying, I think it was D.L. Moody maybe, when he's saying, okay, imagine a container and you want it to be filled with something, but it's filled with something else, right? And so the Holy Spirit, you guys, he lives within you and I, but he wants to fill us. He wants to baptize us and fill us. I want to encourage you to ask for that as we close in prayer tonight and worship. Lord, fill me with your Holy Spirit. And if he has ever filled you before, every day of my life I ask him to do that, and usually more than a few times. Lord, forgive me of my sins and cleanse me with your blood. And Lord, Holy Spirit, you who already live within me, fill me afresh. I need you. Baptize me afresh. And I want that so bad, but it's not even close to how bad he wants to fill you and I. He's wonderful. He's glorious. He's gentle. He's powerful. He's the Lord. He's God. He loves us. He wants us to love him back. Now, we talked last night as we started about spiritual warfare, and I'm trying to find the place, and then we'll pray. Just give me a second here in my notes because, okay. You know what Satan attacks in the body of Christ? And let's close with this. And he attacks in the church, and he attacks in your life and mine. What he tries to do is put up strongholds and walls, anything to keep God's love from flowing. So anything that's going to tear down those walls, he's going to attack. So he attacks. He can't keep you and I from receiving God's agape love. Let's go back and picture the dam, right? And it's full, and God's love keeps on coming. It's a constant. It's there. He wants to flood us with it. The enemy can't keep us from receiving it. Romans 8 says, nothing can separate us from the love of God. Part of that is God's love keeps coming, and he can't keep God from continuing to love us. He can't keep Jesus from loving us, but he can keep us from receiving it if we'll put a wall up, right? Unforgiveness or whatever. But you guys, not believing correctly according to the word of God, he'll put walls up. So he will attack the person and the deity of Jesus Christ. You see the enemy attacking that Jesus is God. You see him attacking the cross. He hates the cross because that's where we get saved. And you know what? He would say, I'm okay if you preach the cross. Just don't tell them they got to repent and turn from their sins. And when you preach the cross, just don't tell them there's hell and judgment. Don't tell them that, because that'll diminish the cross. And don't talk about God's agape love, but if you do, make it real mushy and don't talk about judgment and hell and whatever, because if we don't talk, because isn't that a great positive message? Don't talk about judgment and hell and it lifts God's love up high, doesn't it? No, it actually diminishes it. When we talk about his love on the cross, because that's where we see it, and that he came to die for us, and he came to save us from something, which is eternal separation in hell because of our sins. We then get an awareness, and those who we preach to, as we love them with his agape love, get an awareness of what they were saved from. And what that does is it lifts up and magnifies how great his love is for us. So Satan attacks the cross, he attacks God's agape love, and he attacks self-renunciation, picking up our cross and following him. That river of selfishness that David was talking about, right? Man, he doesn't want us to tell each other, hey, man, you need to die to yourself, bro, right? You need to pick up your cross. You're selfish. You need to pick up your cross because our self-life is like a wall that keeps him from flooding our lives and hearts with his agape love. So, man, don't teach that. So don't talk about God's love. Don't talk about the cross. Man, don't talk about dying to self, right? And you know what? That need to forgive everybody of everything, don't talk about that. You can love Jesus and have this great relationship with him and still hold on to that anger in your heart. Is that still there tonight? That's what he wants. When Jesus said, if we don't forgive, it's going to affect our relationship with him, and there's going to be a wall. Lastly, he attacks the person and the work of the Holy Spirit. Oh my gosh, probably one of his most effective ones, because if you and I are afraid of God himself who lives within us and we think he's going to make us do something crazy, then we're going to put a wall up. And I think I'm the little boy in that video, and the yellow lab is the Holy Spirit within me. And I think at this point in my walk, I'm there right now where I'm still trying to learn to trust him. And every once in a while, I throw myself on him and whatever. And you know, guys, it's like, he who began a good work in you will be faithful to complete it. And he's begun a good work this weekend, that we would get a hold of how much he loves us and we would pursue that. And we would start to begin to trust the very one within us, the Holy Spirit, and not be afraid of his gifts and how they should operate and learn what that looks like in normal, healthy church life. But he wants us tonight to ask him to fill us. Now, isn't that crazy? That somebody, we're not, he does, the Holy Spirit, you guys, he doesn't want us to say, will you please come inside me? I want to invite you to come in. Guys, he's been living us within us since we got saved. Oh my gosh. To be baptized and filled with the Holy Spirit is to ask the one who we have been dwelling with and has been dwelling within us to simply fill us more with himself. Oh my gosh, that's what he wants us to ask tonight. He would say, oh, I'm already within you. And I'm so in love with you, and I've been living with you since the day you asked Jesus into your heart. You became my temple. Will you let me carve my first palm tree on the walls of your heart tonight before we leave? Will you let me fill the room? I already live within you. Will you trust me? And right now, as we close in worship and prayer, simply ask me to fill you. Do you know? The disciples gathered in the upper room, and no one went and laid hands on each other. They were all together like we are now, and the Holy Spirit fell upon them. There are times in the Word of God where people would lay hands on people and pray for them to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit would fill them. Other times, people were just gathered like at Cornelius' house when Peter came, and the Holy Spirit fell on the whole group. Tonight, we only have a few minutes left, and we're going to go to worship right now and close, but as we do, would you obey him and ask him to fall upon all of us and to fill you? And would you trust him to do that? Because you guys, if you and I don't learn to trust him and ask him to fill us, God's love will be in us, but that root will hit rock like a wall. And he wants it to go deep. Man, what could God do? So we're going to close right now. And what we're going to do is I'm going to ask Christian and Mandy to come up. We got 15 minutes left. Excuse me. We're going to worship right now, turn the lights down. Guys, ask him to baptize you and fill you. Not come inside you. He's already there. Fill the house. Fill every room. And Do you know what the Lord would say to us? He would say, if you will walk with me in purity, I will walk with you in power. We think of sexual purity, yes. Purity meaning anything in us that's a wall. Unforgiveness, anything. A pure vessel, nothing hindering, no walls. Fill me up, Lord. It would be like all of a sudden this room starts flooding and we can't get out. And what's going to happen is water seeks its own level and it's going to fill this whole room up to where there is not one place where it's not. That's the idea. He already lives within you. Will you allow him? And will you ask him to fill you right now as we worship?